Hello again, everyone, from Los Angeles.
Yes, sir. Yes, we're back.
We are in Los Angeles. We are poolside, but that does not mean it's not a business trip. All business here for Game 6.
Too cold, no bikinis.
Yeah, we're literally the only two people at the entire pool right now. So, and cold. It's cold. But it's great, great to be back in Los Angeles. I'm Rob Fisher. He's Brevin Knight. This is Night Court. You can catch us all on Twitter at NightCourt22, at The Fish Nation, and at BrevinKnight22. Never thought I'd be happier to be back in Los Angeles.
Never.
Really? I mean,
we talked about this when we were just walking earlier. We said the way that we walked out of the arena a couple days ago and the way that we were just walking down the street right now were two different strides.
Yeah. I had a little strut going, which was nice. Hopefully today's show, we will not be kicked out of our studio today. We are in like a little bungalow.
Just so y'all know, I did confront that security guard when we walked in just now.
Yes, and blamed him for us being back. And blamed him for why the Lakers are going to lose this series. So, it's on the security guard here in Los Angeles. Grizzlies win game number 5, 116-99. It felt a lot like game 2. I thought going into it, it felt a lot like game 2. You got to play desperate. And I thought the start was just so very important, and the Grizzlies got off to a great start.
The thing that has been a constant in the first 5 games was the team that won the first quarter has won the game.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that is because that has been a team that has set the tone and has been able to capture the momentum that has been able to carry on throughout the game. And so I think it's incumbent upon this Grizzlies team to have the same start that they had in game 4. Now, will that yield winning the quarter? Of course, you like to say, yeah, win the quarter because they'll win the game. That's really easy to say. But I just think for themselves and to keep the pressure on this Lakers team as to not allow them to run away, not allow the fans to be a part of the game, because now that you're back here, that everyone expects them to win. And if the game stays close, then starts to make it a little bit tougher for guys to make shots down the stretch. So the Grizzlies just have to make sure that they keep themselves in touch and for them to be the aggressor and to take control right from the outset.
A couple of things that stuck out from that game. Number one, I think number one, the Grizzlies' defense continues to play well. That's been pretty consistent. They hold the Lakers under 100 points. When the Lakers are under 105, they're 0-13 on the season. And both Grizzlies' wins in the series, they were under 105. Under 100 in this one. So the Grizzlies' defense has been really good.
Yeah, they've done a good job of being able to pick up the physicality on the defensive side and do it without obsessively fouling. And so they're going to have to continue with that same brand. I think that's what wears the opponent down, is that the a little bit more physicality is allowed in the playoffs, and so you have to use it to your advantage. And I thought they've done a good job of there being bodies in front of bodies, haven't allowed the runouts as much as we have seen throughout the game, especially from game 1. It was the right. Lakers were the faster team. They were the ones changing ends. We're not talking about the Lakers being the faster team anymore. We're not talking about those easy shot opportunities. So they're having to play against the Grizzlies in the half-court defense. And so I think they've done a good job of making it hard on the Lakers in the half-court.
The other thing that's been talked about the most from game number 5 is a different lineup that we saw from the Grizzlies. 4 guards and Jaren. Small lineup. And it was effective.
Yeah, we talked about it on the last podcast that when your back is against the wall and it's a win or go home situation, you throw it all, throw the kitchen sink at your opponent. And it was a timely adjustment for Taylor Jenkins and one that was needed because as much as we talk about how good the Grizzlies defense has been, the Lakers defense has been just as good on their end. And so scoring was going to be at a premium and the Grizzlies have been able to get a lot of open looks on their offensive end. They haven't been able to knock them down. So put some guys on the floor that have the ability to knock those shots down but also have to be defended out to the three-point line. The movement was good with that small lineup, and I thought that they also did a good job of rebounding. The one fear, when you put four smalls on the floor like that, is can you rebound well enough to give yourself the chance on the offensive end to have the advantage? And I thought they rebounded extremely well, and so hopefully Luke Kennard is fine to play, because his ability to make shots, stretch the floor, and he's done a good job. We always see him popping up with 5-6 rebounds when he does play. It was definitely a nice lineup to put out on the floor.
You had 20 rebounds from your backcourt in that game.
Attention to detail. No, the other thing is, when this team has had their backs against the wall, or when they've been written off, or you say they can't do something, they seem to rise to the occasion. And I think a lot of it is, yes, the team has gotten that way, but it's also the makeup of the individuals. So the two guys now that have had to go large and go large, these are the moments that they want to be in. And Ja Morant, we talk about, he is built for this type of stage, to play in these type games. And we've seen Desmond Bane also with his talent do it, but also with his, we've seen a maturity side with him in terms of the way that he has spoke about his own game and the mistakes that he has made and what he needed to do to be better, and taking ownership of what the team had to do. And I think because of that, we've seen him have the two back-to-back 30-point games and look as good as we've seen him.
I thought last night's game, and I mentioned it on the post-game show, and I mentioned it to Dez on the walk-off. I really paid attention to Dez for some reason last night, maybe more so than ever. And his communication defensively, something that Taylor Jenkins always preaches, his communication was great. His communication offensively was great. He was a ball handler a lot of times, and I thought his leadership was great. He was talking in the huddles. It was a locked in, I am going to not let our team lose tonight sort of mentality. And to me, you know, maybe this is just in the moment more than anything probably, but I don't remember a better Desmond Bane game as a Grizzly when you consider the moment that this game was played.
I agree. And I mean, he set the tone in the first quarter. I think at 14 in the first quarter of the game, and it was the fashion in which he was scoring, and it was how much he was moving. My one worry was that he was going to expend so much energy in the beginning of the game that he may be dead at the end of the game. But to his credit, the physical shape that he is in enabled him to play at that level. And he was amazing. I said, on the offensive end, what makes this Grizzlies team good offensively is when they are moving on the offensive end. And it was the best movement motion-wise offensively that we've seen them have in the series. And so they were able to have better success. The pace was there in terms of made or missed shots by the Lakers. They were still trying to push the tempo. And the Lakers in some way helped, because there wasn't as much 94-foot defense in that game. And hopefully in game six, they had that same mentality that allows the Grizzlies again to be able to get up the floor, have more options. That was a big thing that the Lakers defense had done a good job of.
Do you think that's a play in every other day now sort of move, or?
Well, it could be a play in every play, but the guys who were the pressure up the floor guys aren't guys that you would worry about that, because they're not the guys you rely upon to do the other things as much.
Right.
Schroeder in more ways than Vanderbilt, because of his ability to play pick and roll. He can score in the mid-range, but their primary focus is to be defenders. And so I don't think the one day in between, I just think for whatever reason, they didn't do it in game three when we played in game three here. Mm-hmm. They didn't do it then. Game four.
Game four.
They didn't do it in game four when we played here.
Yeah, interesting. Luke Kennard, you mentioned briefly his shoulder injury. It was a weird sort of situation, because he took the screen with the right shoulder, but his left arm kind of got stuck
right
in between a couple of guys, and I guess that's what happened. And they described it as a stinger. He is listed as questionable for the game. All right, so let's look at both scenarios. If he plays, the Lakers have to make an adjustment on what's that Grizzlies lineup.
And I wonder for the Lakers, does that make them size down even more? And in sizing down, that means you're forcing a Schroeder a Reeves who has had good games. You're going to have to play a Troy Brown Jr., a Rui Hachimura, and then you put LeBron out there or you put AD out there. But what it does is it at least it's a better size matchup for the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. And it also brings lesser offensive players onto the floor for the Los Angeles Lakers. Yeah. Maybe they play Malik Beasley, who hasn't shot it well. And knock on wood, maybe I shouldn't even said it because we don't need some type breakout game for him. But and D'Angelo Russell didn't say him. So they may size down and match up somewhat with the Grizzlies in that fashion. But then that's what the playoffs are all about, adjustments. The Grizzlies showed it. The Lakers now have tape on it. They'll be ready to adjust.
All right, now if Kennard doesn't play, do the Grizzlies completely scrap that lineup, or who's a candidate to plug in?
Well, I mean, I think you got to – it goes by a feel at that point, and you say Santi Aldama made some shots. He may grab rebounds and play well, I thought, in game five. And so – it's going to be by committee. If Kennard can't play, then we say by committee. That means that hopefully Santi Aldama can stretch the floor enough that makes a couple of threes and maybe timely perimeter shots. Conchard, timely perimeter shots. A lot of this comes down to Dylan Brooks also. And we feel like there has to be a moment where there's a positive that has to happen for him on the offensive end. And for him, it is continue to take those wide open shots, but it's also force the issue to get to the two-pointers where he is at his best, which is getting into the paint area or two dribbles into a mid-range jump shot that at least forces guys to come out, and maybe as they're rushing out, you can change the pace dribble and get by somebody. But they're going to need for him to make two or three threes in his game. And I feel like we said Desmond Bane 2 games ago was due. The first 3 games just wasn't him.
Mm-hmm.
Last 2 games, we see more Desmond Bane. I am of the mindset that Dylan Brooks will have one of those breakout games. And it doesn't have to just be the threes, just a very impactful game. Because if Kennard doesn't play, they're just going to need for him to have an impact on the game. Defensive shutdown, big rebounds, the drives that lead to assists, doing a little bit of everything. I don't want, because he can do other things, then you don't want to just be so focused on the offense. If you're not playing well on offense, rebound, defend, make someone else better with a screen. There are a lot of other ways to still affect the game positively.
I thought the bench, again in game five, not a lot of points when you look up and down. Just 18 points from the bench, 2 of them coming from Kenneth Lofton. So let's look at the guys who were heavily in the rotation. Just 16 points from the bench, but their minutes were impactful. You mentioned, Kennard spacing the floor, did knock down the 2 threes, but being out there, I mean, Kennard was a team high plus 26
right
in the game. Santi Aldama, he had 5 rebounds, 7 points. They were big. He was a plus 17 in the game. He made impactful plays, I thought. Contra, I thought, played really well defensively. He didn't score in the game, but thought he did. And Tyus finally got a shot to go, which was good. Now, he only got 1 shot to go, but I thought the key play from him, and it was just great Tyus play. He was in the corner, got a pass for a three, and they closed out on him, and he whipped it over to Dez, who knocked down the three, and it was like, it was beautiful. He gave up the shot for a better shot.
That was off of a Kennard dribble drive situation that even started that, which is not something we talk a lot about, but Tyus is going to be extremely important again, and it's not just threes. Tyus has to also be able to get back to the floaters. And why he can be good with the floater or that mid-range pull-up shot is because the Lakers are laying back on deep. They are trapping Desmond Bane in pick and rolls. Ja Morant and everyone else, they are sitting back. And so we're going to need for him, if there's no Luke Kennard, they're going to need guys to make up for those points. He's a guy that they're going to have to rely upon to be able to get into that little right below the free throw line area, confident with that floater when the ball moves around, stepping into his three. But we're going to need solid basketball from Tyus, from the guys off the bench, but certain guys, they have to have a good game from Tyus. They have to have a good game from Dylan Brooks, talking about the others. And then Jaren Jackson Jr. is there, of course, but it's going to be a total team effort if they're going to pull this one off.
What has Jaren's series been like? He's got 3 straight double-doubles. I mean, he's rebounding the ball. He's nuts. I mean, at the end of the season, he was scoring 30 regularly. He's in the mid-teens, and a lot of times it's been low early and then some late. How do you evaluate what he's done so far?
I don't know by design or what, but I think he's been too passive on the offensive end, which I mean, we've got too many possessions of hanging out in the corner. He's too good of a basketball player to not be a part of the offensive end, and too good of a basketball player for him to not believe he's a player that deserves to be in the mix in terms of making the plays for us to win. The difference in something that he'll have to work on as he goes into the summer is you're playing against a true shot blocker, and how do you get your shot off against a shot blocker? I think that has been the biggest problem for Jaren in this series is he has, in 95% of his matchups, been able to just shoot over the top of whoever's defending him. Mm-hmm. With Anthony Davis, he can't shoot over the top of him. And so he has to find other ways to be creative to score. But he still has to be involved in scoring. And so it was good to see that second half, he and Xavier Tillman were big in the Grizzlies being able to stabilize and win the game. And they're going to need for those two to again be involved in the game, setting screens, the rebounding. Don't stop the rebounding. But the biggest thing that the Grizzlies need to beat the Lakers is offense. They have done a good job defensively. They've done a good job rebounding the basketball. They cut down the second chance points. But where they have to be good is on the offensive end. And he is an efficient offensive player. He shoots free throws well. And so the play calling part of it, teammates urging him on, but he himself has to do a better job of involving himself on the offensive end.
Who's the pressure on in game 6?
The Lakers. I mean, at this point, it became the narrative changed quickly when they won game 1. Mm-hmm. Before game 1, it was the Grizzlies have their starting center, backup center hurt, but they still have home court advantage and they play well when they've been shorthanded. So we still give the Grizzlies an edge in some way. There's still a lot of people that, even with that, right from the jump, with the Lakers going to win the series. Then they come out the way they do and they win game 1. Then it became, all right, well, the Lakers, when they get whoever they're going to play next, it stopped even being about this series. But now that we've gotten it to 3-2 and the 2 wins that the Grizzlies have been dominating wins at home, it becomes, well, if we don't win here, what's going to happen when we go back? The pressure mounts even more. And so they've had to have big games from their other players to be good. And so can they still be good in those moments? Austin Reeves, Hachimura, we talked about Beasley. Can he make a big shot? So I believe tomorrow night's game is a big pressure one for the Lakers, and one in which they're going to exert maximum effort to make sure that they don't go back to Memphis.
Is the schedule a factor and in favor of the Grizzlies? Now that we've gone since game 3, it's been every other day, and now that you get to this point of the schedule, it's been game 4, fly out, game 5, fly out, game 6. Is it a factor?
I don't put stock into that because this both teams got to fly back and forth. They have the best recovery tools at their disposal through both teams. These guys have played regular season games where you play every other day for maybe a week. So I don't put much stock into that, man. When those lights come on, I can promise you, whatever tiredness you had before the game started is not a factor in those first 5-6 minutes of the game. Now, as the game goes on and the energy level is what it is, how much you're having to exert yourself. Now you may get tired at that point, but to start the basketball game because you've flown cross country and because you're playing the next day, I don't think that has much to do with it. And you can't tell me that because they flew one day that in the third quarter, that's why they got tired. Yeah. They're going to get tired in the third or fourth quarter because the Grizzlies are running up and down, the pace is fast action, they're hitting them physically on the defensive side, not getting in foul trouble, and it's because the Grizzlies are playing that greater brand of basketball. Why the other team and the Lakers will be tired.
Yeah. All right, so a lot of us, you know, I think going into game 5, a lot of us were asked at the arena and on radio shows or whatever, how do you feel? How do you feel about the game? And it was like, yeah, we're good. You know, we can win this one. And but it wasn't really a confident answer. There's a lot more confidence, it feels like, from Memphis people going into game six than there was going into game five. But why should we be confident?
I think we should be confident because it's only been one game when the Grizzlies didn't have an opportunity to win.
Yeah.
There have been zero games this season that the Grizzlies didn't have an opportunity to win here at the Lakers arena, and in their own hands just didn't get it done. So the belief is that by making a couple of plays, having a couple more individual performances, that they can win. The reality is you still got to go out and do it to win.
Yeah.
So the belief, yes, all of the other things, being the underdog on the road, haven't won, what the record was this year on the road, all that stuff doesn't matter. What matters now is going out, executing offensively, defensively, and understanding that every possession counts. The possession that you miss and you hold your hand and pat your chest in the first quarter is as important as the possession in the fourth quarter that you may miss and somebody gets to the basket and scores. The fewer my bad teams have in the playoffs, the more successful they are. And that's where this team, the mindset has to be, we have no my bads on the defensive end in this game, in the game tomorrow night. And so, listen, you've seen Desmond Bane and John Morant. We said where we're going was John Morant going to get activated. I think we have activated John Morant. And I think we also a John Morant that feels a little bit more confident about the hand. He's gone down, the hand hurt when he put it down a couple games ago, but he fought through it. And so, and then Dez has found a groove. And so it's going to put a lot of pressure on the Lakers to have to figure out what can they do. And this is the last thing. We still haven't seen the best Jaren Jackson Jr. but for one game. We haven't seen the best Dylan Brooks at all. And so there's still so much room for growth from the Grizzlies regulars. Not just the bench guys, it's the regulars. I don't know if the Lakers can say how much more have their regulars not given them
sure.
to be in a position to say we should have been much better.
I feel like I did before this series began. Of, I think the Grizzlies, when they get to what they're capable of doing, when their players play to their capabilities, they're better. They're better than the Lakers. They just are. And right now, and to the Lakers' credit, Lakers are playing really well. Lakers are defending the heck out of the Grizzlies.
Lakers' defense has been phenomenal.
It's been great. And so you give the Lakers the credit for being up 3-2. I just feel like, you know, and I asked Dez on the walk-off last night, have you played your best game? And he said, heck no. I mean, they haven't.
Well, if you look at the numbers of the shooting of the Grizzlies are shooting around 42% from the field right now. Got to be around 30 or maybe under 30% from the three-point line at this juncture. And they've still been in every game. And so the field goal percentage in the paint is 6 or 7 percentage points lower than what it normally is during the regular season. They just haven't been themselves on the offensive end. A credit to the Lakers. Like, yes. I'm not going to take away from how well they've defended. They have been very good crowding the paint. So those paint shots that you may be able to get that were a little bit cleaner, why Tyus can't get those shots is because the defense for the Lakers has been phenomenal. They've been able to crowd the paint. They have the length. They've contested shots. But the Grizzlies have still had ample opportunities with their shots that have not gone down. And you just feel like maybe last night was a night where some of the guys saw it go in. The regular, our stars, they were stars, and they're in their groove. And so that's why you remain confident that this team can win tomorrow night and then go back home and let's put all the cards on the table. If you had to win a game, if you're a Memphis Grizzlies and you say it's in FedEx form, you would take that any day of the week.
I've brought back Believe Memphis, by the way. I've brought it back.
Why not?
# Believe Memphis. Jump on board. Believe Memphis, game 6, Friday night at Crypto.com Arena in Los Angeles. Can't wait. All right, a couple of other NBA things. The Milwaukee Bucks are out. They're out. They lost to the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler, one of the great offensive fouls ever to knock in the game winner. And then the NBA has the audacity to say it should have been a foul on Connaughton? That's just silly.
That was silly, but it was still a great shot. The pass, like we're not giving enough credit to what's the shooter on there? I forgot his name. God, dog.
Struess?
No, he has the braids. God, the little guard. Oh, I forget his name. He made the pass from out of bounds over the top of Giannis to a perfect point where it could be caught and finished. And Jimmy Butler was not going to allow the Miami Heat to lose. And he's special. And that doggone Eric Spoelstra, with all of those dang-gone former NBA players sitting next to him, just continues to win.
Amazing. Amazing what Miami has done. And then, weird that the runner-up for Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA, not even on the floor for the last game. Didn't rim protect or nothing.
Well, the thing was, what he did was he was doing bad rim protection, which I always say is, sometimes as a shot blocker, you have to realize, can I block it or am I just going to go because I say, this is what I do.
Right.
And I thought towards the end of that game, he had too many I'm going to block it, but you really can't get to it. And I think Bam had two or three offensive rebound dunks off of that. Then from there, they went
small. Bam had a triple-double.
He's one of those guys that if you don't watch Miami Heat play enough and you just see watching one or two times, like, why everybody talk so much about him? Like, what does he do? But if you watch him over duration and entirety, you start to appreciate what he does as an undersized. He got to be only 6'9", 6'8".
Yeah.
And he goes out there and battles every night. Give them a lot of credit. And Kevin Love came in for them. I mean, look, they lost Tyler Hero. They asked Duncan Robinson to come in. They lose Victor Oladipo with his injury during the playoffs. Kyle Lowry is playing on one leg.
And fouled out.
And they still go and beat the Miami Heat. I mean, they go and beat Milwaukee 4-1 after losing the first play-in, having to win the next one to get in as the eighth seed.
And losing that game. Chicago. And then, yeah, unbelievable. Unbelievable. Everyone has seen Giannis's postgame. Last night he was asked if his season is a failure. I just your thoughts on it. I thought it was a great answer.
It was a good answer. The season is not a failure. It is disappointing.
Right.
Because the expectation was to win the championship, but it's not a failure. And I say it's not because you don't just discredit everything that you did during the regular season to get to that point. Now, they didn't play their best. They didn't play well enough to beat the other opponent, and that's what the playoffs are about. You go out there, and you got to beat me four times. Regardless of what your record was, you got to go out there and play the game. And he wasn't 100%. He missed the game, and Miami took advantage of it, and you give them credit. But I don't think in any way you say that the season was a failure.
Yeah.
Was it a disappointment? It was a definite disappointment because to at least get to the finals again,
right?
And compete for a title, but it just didn't happen.
No, I think we talked about it on the podcast when we were in Milwaukee and they had the ceremony for Giannis on the court.
Which it was weird.
They gave him a jersey of himself, to honor him for being the all-time points and assists and games played leader. It was really weird. It was like he was retiring and they were putting his number in the rafters. Yes. It was bizarre. It would have been great if Giannis answered the question with, a failure? They honored me at a game.
Don't you ascend to that? That's what you try to do with your job.
I mean, come on. The Knicks have moved on and they are partying in the streets of New York with the Knicks fans are beside themselves.
I think my best friend Damian might have drove up from Maryland to party in the streets with him. He's
really?
So excited. Oh, listen, long time Knicks fan. Why are they partying? A lot of people weren't even born when the Knicks were successful.
Yeah.
So the excitement
and
joy.
I was hardly born.
So for them to have this is really good, and to have a old school Eastern Conference playoff battle of the Miami Heat and the New York Knicks, and I told my wife today, I said, babe, I bet you the one video clip we're gonna see 8 million times while the series goes on is Van Gundy on the leg of Alonzo Mourning as him and Charles Oakley, I think it's Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning square up And Van Gundy runs out there, and I don't know what the hell he thought he was going to do, but they already started running that. So it's I am very, very interested in that series there, boy. That should be a lot of fun for all of us old school basketball people.
Yeah, that'll be cool. And then in the and then Philadelphia's already advanced through. Boston, they're playing right now. We'll be honest, as we're recording this, so
right.
Not sure what's going on. But I'm expecting Boston to win the series, right, aren't we?
I think that at the end of the day,
good for Atlanta getting that win. That was cute and everything, but
and it was nice for the Atlanta fans. They get to go back there and try to cheer them on. So it keeps this is what the NBA playoffs are about. You don't know what's going to happen.
Oh, it's great too when you get to this point of series and you're like, it's one game at a time. It's just one possession at a time. But it is. That's what it goes to.
Well, at this point where we're taping, there's not a lot of defense being played in this game.
No.
And the Celtics are up by one at the half, 68-67.
Okay. All right. In the West, the Nuggets disposed of the Timberwolves. No surprise there.
Right.
Then we have the
Phoenix
disposed of the Clippers. A little easier than I thought. Well, I thought the Clippers played pretty well, too.
Yeah, when you lose your two best players, I promise you, there's no NBA team that's going to win when you lose your two best players in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Not going
to
happen.
Ty Lue had to remind people of that last night.
I mean.
Or whenever it was.
Yeah, I don't understand how anybody could be like, well, what happened? I didn't have Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. That's what happened.
Yeah.
And I'm playing against Devin Booker, Chris Paul, and Kevin Durant. You want to know what happened? That's what happened. If you can't be smart enough to know what happened, you shouldn't even be asking the question.
But good for Russ. Russ was good. What's Russ's future?
He shows that he's still one of the most competitive players in the NBA.
No doubt.
And I think can help a basketball team win games. And I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't stay a member of this Clippers team unless money just becomes a factor.
Go Sack.
Let's go Sack.
And if not Sack, that's cool. We'll play Golden State.
We won't tell you. We have some other feelings of the go Sack thing. It's not because we think that that's the easier matchup for the Grizzlies. There are some other personal reasons for that.
That's right. That's right. All right. So there you go. There you have it. This is our preview of game number 6. Feeling good. I can actually see Crypto.com Arena from where we're sitting here at the pool. It's right there.
It looks like it's a W on it in Grizzlies blue. I think that's what's shining.
Is that what that is?
I thought that's what was shining on the building.
Oh, all right. Cool.
All right.
All right. Everybody enjoy the game. Go Grizz. Grizz have to win because I'm wearing something. Special.
They better win, because if they don't, I'm going to look at you real crazy on that post-game show.
Yep. Everybody will. So go Grizz. Win game 6. And then back home for game 7 on Sunday against the Lakers. Don't know what time that one would be just yet. But we will talk after this game, regardless of what happens. And hopefully we'll be talking about game 7 back in Memphis. For BK, I'm Fish from Los Angeles. This has been Night Court. We'll talk to you again after game 6.
Peace.